For a while, we've been looking at this issue of mountain-moving faith, and today we're looking at mountain-moving faith under the title of Faith That Works. I've heard a lot of people say off and on, well, you know, I tried that faith and it didn't work, that faith thing you talk about, and it didn't help me any. Or faith, you know, I know it's so hard to have faith, it just doesn't work for me. So we're looking today at what can derail this faith, mountain-moving faith. And one of the things we're going to talk about that can derail it is this, that a passage from James, the letter of James, the book of James in the Bible, chapter 2, verse 14. James says this, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Does not have works. Can that faith save him?" Now, when you look at that, there's controversy. I'm going to get into, I'll talk about this a little bit before we get on into the lesson, but out in the religious world today and in the Christian world today, there's a saying out there that we're saved by faith alone. Martin Luther came up with that back in the Reformation, sola fide, I think it was. He had some sayings that came along with this idea, and it was great. They wanted to go back to the Bible and all of that, but Luther was so concerned about people trying to earn their way to heaven because he had tried it and he knew it didn't work. You can't do that. You can't earn your way to heaven. So he came up with the phrase, we're saved by faith alone. I hear it repeated a lot. Well, James just contradicted that, didn't he? He just contradicted that in the sense that he said the faith that doesn't work is not a saving faith. Now, we all know that. We know that sometimes people profess to be Christians. They go through the motions. They go forward and talk to the preacher. They may even get baptized in water. And they claim to be a Christian. And you watch their lives, and there's absolutely no evidence, absolutely no evidence that they've ever accepted Jesus' way of doing things. So faith is more than just I agree to what the preacher said. Faith is more than I agree Jesus is the Son of God. And James will deal with that here in a little bit. So faith, we're looking at faith. If faith is going to be a real faith and a faith that works for you, there has to be something in this that James is talking about. There must be some action. NIV uses the word deeds. A lot of other versions use the word actions or even works, which some people don't like that word. So let's look at that for a minute, what James has said. On the next slide, I put this up here. James uses four different situations to reveal a faith that works. And you're going to see those situations as in the next slide here. The four situations to reveal a faith that works. Number one, he talks about love in action. Now, this is James chapter 2. We're going to go through from verse 14 through several verses there, and I'll give you the breakdown of these verses. He talks first about this idea of love that is either inactive or it's active. So he's starting to talk about this issue of what you believe is not really what you believe unless you act on it. You don't really believe it unless you act on it. So he says this in James chapter 2, verse 14. "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if a man claims to have faith, but he has no deeds?" That's NIV. Others say no works. "What good is it if you say you have faith? What good is it if you claim to have faith, but there's no action?" So he goes on to say this. "Can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and without daily food, and if one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm, well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? What good is a faith that says, 'I'm believing with you, brother, you're going to find some food. I'm believing with you, sister, you're going to have enough money coming in where you can buy some decent clothes. Oh, I'm with you on that,' but you don't help." He said, what good is a faith like that? A faith like that can't change the world. A faith like that can't preach the gospel to a world that's looking for help. So what good is that? It's not any good. If you say, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, is if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So he's talking about a faith that can't save, and now he's talking about a faith that's dead, And how come it's dead? Because you don't take any action on it. You don't do anything about what you say you believe. Now, understand, people get nervous about this because they say, well, you know, we can't work our way to heaven. That's true. We can't obey our way to heaven. We can't get to heaven because we're such good people. I could go out and help all the people I want to help, and I still wouldn't get me to heaven if I'm not a Christian. You're right. There are a lot of religions out there that'll help folks that have needs. They'll give food, they'll give clothing, you know, and that doesn't mean you're saved just because you do that. What he's talking about here is a faith that acts, and some people get a little nervous about that and say, well, we can't be saved by our actions. You know what the difference is? If you're living under a law system, like the Old Testament law of Moses, if you're living under a law system and you're trying to work your way to heaven, you're doing works. You're doing works that are dead works, the Bible says. But if you come to Christ and you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and you believe on Him and you do everything He tells you to do and you join up as a disciple of Jesus, you do that, and as you do that, you're doing some of the same things like clothing people and feeding people, but you're doing it now out of love. You're doing it because you love Jesus and He loves you, and you're doing it because you love to do it. You just love to do it. It's a fact of life. You may do some things for your boss at work that you have to do. You may do some of the same things for your spouse or the one you love, and you don't do it because you have to. You do it because you want to. There's a difference. So James here is not talking about working your way to heaven by a bunch of good works. What he's saying is, if you say you believe and you say you have faith and it doesn't motivate you to any kind of action, it's not real faith. So the church today, sadly, is full of a lot of people who are agreeers. They agree. They agree with what the church teaches. They agree that Jesus is Lord, the Son of God. They agree that Jesus came to die for our sins. They agree that they must be baptized, and they're baptized. They agree with a lot of things, but then you look at their everyday daily life, and when their daily life, there's absolutely no evidence that they really believe in Jesus. You say, how do you know that? You can't pass judgment. No, but the Word of God can. The Word of God passes judgment. Tell me how a Christian is really a Christian, that they say they believe in all of this, and yet they won't lift a finger to help anybody else. They say they believe all this, and when a collection plate comes around, they throw a couple of dollars in, they make $100,000 a year. That's not saying you understand what we're doing here is valuable. You put your money where you think there's value. Or if you say you're a Christian and you've accepted all the doctrines of the gospel and you agree with what the preacher says and you agree with all of this, but you still have that problem with your language. All those words come out. And it's not just the four-letter words. It's the anger, and it's the unforgiveness, and it's the hatred, and it's the racism, and it's all these other things that just come out of us sometimes. And then we pop up on Sunday morning in church and act like we're a Christian. James said that kind of faith is not faith. That kind of faith is just dead. If you really believe something, act on it. If, God forbid, there should be a fire in this building and I start telling everybody to get out, there's a fire, and you say, he's joking. He's joking. He always jokes around like that. You're not going to move, are you? But if you smell smoke, you're going to go, aren't you? You're going to say, oop, got to get out of here. You see, what you believe will translate into action, and James is perfectly clear about that. So he says, number one, one situation you see where there's faith or lack of faith is whether your love acts, or you act on love. Number two, the demons. Look at chapter 2. The demons, James chapter 2, verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, I have action. You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith. Here's what James says. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that. And they tremble. You say, oh, I believe Jesus is Lord. Demons know that. They know Jesus is Lord. And they shudder at the thought of meeting Him. So, if you just say you believe, It has to take over your words, doesn't it? But beyond that, are you doing anything about it? Are you doing anything about really following Jesus? He says here, well, that's the acid test, isn't it? Some people say, he begins with that idea. Some people say, well, you know, there's some people who have a lot of faith, but I'm just one of those, I just get out and work. I've heard that when I teach sometimes at prayer seminars. I teach a prayer seminar, and almost every time somebody will come up to me and say, after the classes are over, they'll say, that's good that we studied prayer, but you know, you have to work. Why should it be separated? It doesn't have to be separated, does it? Just because I'm praying a lot doesn't mean I'm not doing anything. James is kind of using that same idea here. Some people say, yeah, but you have a lot of faith, but I just get out there and get the work done. Look at what James' answer to that is. Show me your faith without action. Can you prove to me that you have faith without any action? How are you going to show me you have faith? How are you going to show me you have faith? By how you act, by what you do, by putting it into action, by just something so simple as showing up at church. If you don't ever show up, it tells me you don't consider it very valuable. Action. So James says, you can't show me any faith unless you got some action. Show me your faith by your action. I'll show you my faith by what I do. I can show you my faith, he says. I can show you my faith, just follow me around. You'll see my faith in action. If I really believe in Jesus, and I really believe Jesus is going to provide for me and my family, and I really believe Jesus wants me to love the world and love lost people, in that sense of loving the world, then you'll see me helping somebody. If I really believe that there's a heaven and a hell, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to miss, if I really, really, really believe that, I'll be talking to people about Jesus. Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not qualified. I don't know the Bible. I don't know how to teach the Bible. Well, excuses. But if I really believe what the Bible says about heaven and hell, and I really believe Jesus is the only way to be saved, see, a lot of Christians don't believe that. They hear the media and they hear the culture around us. No, you can be this, that, and the other, and still, God loves everybody. If you really believe what the Bible says, you need Jesus to go to heaven, but you're never doing anything to make that message real and go out and make the message go out there, then you really don't believe it. I dare say probably a lot of Christians don't believe there's a hell because it's uncomfortable to believe that. It's uncomfortable to say, yes, there is a day coming when everybody will either be lost or saved. There's a day coming when the devil and all of his angels will be thrown in the lake of fire, according to Revelation, and all those who are not Jesus' people will be in that lake of fire with the devil and his angels because they followed him. They followed their leader right on into that place. It wasn't made for human beings. It was made for the devil. So if you really believe these things, if you really believe what the Word of God says, then you act on what you believe. But if you're not acting, James says, then it doesn't really matter to you. It doesn't make that much difference. So he talks about the demons. Do the demons believe in Jesus? Yes. Do they do anything about it? No. What do they do about it? Resist. They just keep resisting. And their day will come, won't it? Look at the third one. The third thing he mentions is Abraham's story. James chapter 2, verse 20. Abraham's story. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without works is useless? You want some more evidence, he says? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. That's the whole point. Faith and actions have to work together, not one or the other. They work together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. He completed the circuit. He goes on to say this. It was credited, and the scripture was fulfilled, verse 23. The scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's an early statement in the life of Abraham. God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees and told him to go to another place. I want you to pick up everything, Abraham, and go. And I'm not going to tell you where you're going just yet, but I want you to go. And I want you to gather everybody up in your group. He had a large group, large family, and had a lot of people working for him. Get up and go, because I'm going to send you to a land. Well, what was that land? He was on the way to go into the land that the Jews eventually received, that land that was then known as Canaan. Now it's called the Holy Land. So he sends him in that direction. And Abraham gets up and goes. He gets up and moves. And the Bible says early on in Abraham's life, he believed God. And that was credited to him as righteousness. But James says, wait a minute, that wasn't the whole story. He believed God, but he didn't come into Sarah and say, you know, I heard from God the other day. Amazing. God spoke to me. And he said, we're supposed to pack up and go. We're supposed to pack up and go to this land over here that I've never been to. And he didn't just say exactly where it was, but we're supposed to go there. And so, Sarah, that sounds good to me. One of these days, we'll get around to that. Right now, I just can't do that because I got a crop in the field, and we just got to get that. We got to have the money to make the trip. We got to get this crop out, you know, and out of the field, and we have, we'll get around. Maybe it'd be better if I could gather a few more servants together, because over there, I don't know what we're going to be facing and how hard we're going to have to work. But what did Abraham do? He didn't say that. What did Abraham do? He just saluted and said, yes, sir. Can you imagine? Went and told his wife, we're moving. Where do you want to move? I don't know. God didn't tell me that. God spoke to me and he said, we're moving. So start packing. And she probably thought, this man's crazy. Later on, God told Abraham, he said, Abram he was, and he said, I want you to change your name to Abraham. Abram means father, exalted father. Abraham means father of many nations. So now he's telling his employees, he doesn't have any kids yet, and Sarah can't even have children. And so he tells all of his employees, now you got to stop calling me Abram. Call me father of many nations. I wonder if there was any snickering behind his back. Like, this old man's lost it. He was 75 years old when God called him. Pick up and go. Go. Well, he did. 25 years. 25 years of hearing from God and doing what God said, not just hearing from God and saying, yeah, that's right, God. Hearing from God and acting on what God said, 25 years of it. And it gets down to the point where they have this child. His wife couldn't have children. He had never had any children until Ishmael. And now they have this miracle baby. The miracle baby is born, Isaac, and Isaac grows, and Isaac gets to be a grown man. But he's a teenager at this point that James is talking about, where God said to Abraham now, this boy you have, this is all in Genesis 22. I think you see that on the screen, don't you? This boy you have, God said to Abraham, I want him back. I want him back. So Abraham must have been thinking, wait a minute, 25 years, and you kept promising me this child, and he was a miracle baby. Sarah had never been able to have kids, and she's almost 100, and she's having this baby. Can you see that posted in the nursing home? Mrs. Abraham is going to have a baby. We'll have a baby shower for Mrs. Abraham. Huh? How old is she? About 94. First child. All those years. And God says, give him back to me. At this time, Abraham had been walking with God 25 years. And then Isaac is roughly a teenager now. So that's about 35, somewhere around 40 years when God tells him to give him back. Now that's the key. Because James doesn't tell you much about that. You got to factor it in and say, God gave Abraham this tough, tough, tough assignment that most people look at and say, I wouldn't be able to do that. My faith is not there yet. I wouldn't be able to give my child up to God. That if I only had one and it was a miracle baby, how could I give that child back to God? Think about it. God didn't give Abraham the big assignment. He started with little ones. They pick up and move. Okay, I don't understand, but I'll do it. Gradually. You know, if you walk with God for 40 years like Abraham did, I suspect you may be able to do some tough things too and say, that's okay. You know what Abraham did? According to Hebrews 11, Abraham thought about, I guess, not very long, but he got it together and did what God said to do. We're going to take the boy and offer him as a sacrifice. Hebrews 11 says, Abraham reasoned to this end. He reasoned to this fact. Okay, this is our miracle baby. God says, give him back. God promised me this child would be the link to nations. That I will be the father of nations, and it will come through this child, Isaac. But now he wants me to sacrifice him. So Abraham's only conclusion was, if I do that and I sacrifice this child, God's going to give it back to me. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and he would raise the dead. Boy, that's faith, isn't it? That's faith when Abraham gets that donkey saddled and all those servants with him, and they start up that mountain, and he's got the knife, and he's got the wood, and he's like, I'm going to take this child's life. You say, oh, how cruel, how cruel. That was common in their day. Abraham had probably seen some babies sacrificed. People did weird things back there, back in that day, before revelations from God were common. So he packs up and heads up the mountain, and he pulls that knife, and he's ready, isn't he? And God stopped, the angel of God stopped him. And God said in Genesis, now I know that you will do whatever I tell you to do. That's why his faith was praised. Not that he was just a hanger on, not that he was just an agreeer and say, oh, I agree, guys, it's good to follow God. No, he put his money where his mouth is, didn't he? He said, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. My goodness, if we can get back to that in the church, that's what the church was in the first century. Jesus said, you follow me, you might have a cross too. You follow me, you're likely to die like I'm going to die. And they said, let's go. Saddle up. We're going to do this. We're going to reach the world. They did. We're going to reach the world for this Jesus who we've seen raised from the dead. And so I know if they kill me, God will raise me from the dead. They just went out there and did. Not all of them, of course. But there was enough of a core group, they turned the world upside down in their generation. Because they were doers. They weren't just believers in the sense of agreeing to some facts. James here says in Abraham's story, that's the key to it. There's one last story here, Rahab's story. Remember the story of Rahab? Rahab, he picks it up here in verse 25. Verse 24 says, you see that a person is justified not by what he does, not by faith alone. Does the Bible teach faith alone? Martin Luther did, but does the Bible teach faith alone? No. Maybe our faith alone doctrine is why we have so many weak Christians. They got in because they said, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, sounds good to me. You can have heaven and you can miss hell. Yeah, that sounds good to me. Can I get in on this? Yeah, come on in. And then they do absolutely nothing for God for the rest of their life. Churches today are full of them. That's why churches can't get off dead center and win anybody to Christ. Hey, I don't like, I try my best not to preach negative sermons, and this one's not negative if you really listen to it. But when the Bible says it, we have to accept it, don't we? We have to say, okay, God, you're talking to us, and we're listening. Verse 25, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did. When she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. If your spirit leaves your body, is your body dead? Oh yeah. If your faith has no action, if my faith has no action to it, it's not real faith. It's a cultural idea. It's not really faith. So, who was Rahab? Well, you go back to Joshua's story. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 begins a story there where Joshua's coming. Moses is dead. They've spent 40 years in the wilderness. Now it's time to go get the promised land. They're going to go take Jericho. It's time to go do Jericho. And so Joshua sends spies in. And he says to these spies, go in there and scope out the place. Because Joshua hadn't seen it in 40 years. Been 40 years since he was there. Go in and look and see what it's like. And especially this town called Jericho. So they went in. And they got into Jericho. And they found this woman named Rahab. Calls her a prostitute. Some Bibles say she was an innkeeper. But I think it's more than that. They found her and they slipped into her place because they could go in kind of unnoticed in a sense of they weren't just beating on somebody's door. It was an open place. place where anybody could go. And so they went in, and the king of Jericho found out about it. He said, I heard some guys are here from across the way over there, Jewish guys. What's up with this? And he went to Rahab. He said, where are these people that were here? She said, oh, they left, went to, and sent them off in the wrong direction. Oh, that's like, you know, hit them off at the pass. You know, they've gone. But in the meantime, she's hiding these spies. And so she comes to the spies and she said, we have heard, you can read all of this in Joshua chapter 2. We've heard about your God, Jehovah. We've heard, now think about this. We've heard your God, Jehovah, parted the Red Sea. That there is no God like Jehovah. When did God part the Red Sea? Oh, well over 40 years earlier. They had been hearing stories about this Jehovah God for over 40 years, and they were trembling in their boots. And yet on the other side, the Jews were afraid to go in. God had softened up the territory. And now this Rahab lady says, I'll hide you, and I sent everybody off the wrong direction, so what I want you to do is when you take the city, please spare me and my family. They said, fine, we'll spare you and your family. And they did. When the war broke out, they spared Rahab and her family. Rahab actually is a woman who's in the seed line of Jesus. You read about it. She's in Jesus' genealogy because she did what? She did something about what she believed. What did she believe? They're going to come in here and take this place. She really believed that because she'd heard about Jehovah God and how powerful he was. She knew they're going to come here and take this place, so I better do something. What did she do? Hid the spies. That's what he said, what James says here. She hid the spies, and that was her faith in action. So if you put together everything James has said about a faith that works, faith that will work for you, for me, has to be a faith that works when it hears the word of God. That's why some people, that's where the breakdown is for a lot of us, that we have faith in what God says, and we try to make it happen, and we can wonder why we don't get healed, and wonder why we don't get better, and wonder why we don't have a better life, and wonder why things always go wrong, and wonder why we don't have a better marriage, and blah, 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 all the things we say that if I have enough faith, that'll happen for me. The breakdown is in that faith that doesn't do anything is powerless. You can't change anything with a faith like that. Jesus talked about mountain-moving faith. Remember that? It's not on the list here, but remember what he said in Mark 11? He had cursed that fig tree, and they said, Lord, look, the fig tree you curse is withered. He said, have faith in God. First thing he said, have faith in God. He said, if anybody has faith like this, if you have faith and you don't doubt in your heart, you can do this. You can take a mountain and put it in the ocean with that kind of faith. And then he talks about prayer, and he says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and you'll have it. Believe that you have already received it, and you'll have it. And then he gives them the action to do. Do you remember what the action was? So if you have anything against anyone, forgive. Right there, as soon as he told them about faith, he said, here's the action step. Because he knew some of them had some people they needed to forgive. So forgive. Does faith have to do something? Well, of course it does. If you don't believe faith has to do something, you just don't believe the Bible because he just said that, right? Next slide I have up here is Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 says a lot about faith, doesn't it? Hebrews chapter 11 is called the faith chapter. It's called the faith chapter because it talks about faith a lot. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. We know what faith is, right? It's a certainty. A sure certainty that God's going to do what he said he was going to do. A certainty that there's an eternal world that I'm going to inhabit forever. Faith is certain about that. Then he says, this is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen is not made out of what is visible. Then look at this. I don't have time to read it all, but look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up. He walked with God. Verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So Enoch had enough faith to walk with God. Verse 7, by faith Noah built an ark. What if Noah had gotten the word from God, big flood coming, build an ark? Noah would have probably would have thought anyway, what is that? Never built one before. Don't know how. Build it. What if God? What if Noah had gone home to his wife and said, God told me we need to build this big boat. And it sounds like a good idea to me, because he says there's a flood coming, and we're probably going to need some rescue to get out of this thing. It may flood the whole world, and so I guess I better get started tomorrow. Do you have project around the house that you're still going to do tomorrow? I wonder if old Noah had that. One of these days I'll get around to building that boat, you know, but you know it's never flooded, actually. It's never really flooded the earth, and you know, weather conditions can change, and so he could have talked his way right out of that thing, but what did he do? By faith, Noah built an ark. What if he hadn't built it? We wouldn't be here. I don't know where we'd be, but we wouldn't be here. By faith, Abraham obeyed. This is verse 8. Even though he didn't know where he was going. All through this chapter, by verse 13, these people were still living by faith. When they died, they did not receive these things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham offered Isaac. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. They took action. They did something. Verse 23, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated with the people of Israel because he saw something better in the future. Verse 29, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea. When God parted the Red Sea and said, go, what'd they have to do? They had to go. By faith, verse 31, back to Rahab again, right? Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people marched. Verse 31, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, she did something, right? Was not killed with those who were disobedient. And on it goes. Do you believe that a real, honest-to-goodness, mountain-moving, powerful, working, effective faith has to have action with it? It has to have action. You say, what kind of action? Well, that's between you and God. Look at this one. Next one up here. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7? Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. What did he do? Built his house on the rock. Jesus said, I'm giving you all these words, and the smart folks among you are the ones that are going to take those words and do them. Act on them. So, this last one I put up here is, the last one up here is the one we had last week. Here's an action step. You want to start somewhere. There are some of those cards in the back there. The ones we've been giving out have on them all those scriptures about God's love. How much God loves us. And when you get one of those, it's going to have about 6 or 7 scriptures that you can start with. You say, what's my action step? Well, if I say I believe God's word, what am I supposed to do? Read those every day. Meditate those every day. Several times a day. See, that's an action, isn't it? It's an action. It's something that you say, a lot of people say, well, I don't like to read. Or I don't understand what it says. Hey, you will understand if you do it enough, right? Then what will that do? That will change your view. And that will change, it'll go into your spirit, and your spirit will be motivated to do some things. When you realize how much God loves you, you start loving other people. That's faith in action, isn't it? Does faith work? Faith works in the sense that it is effective. Does faith work in the sense that if I have real faith, I will be active? Real faith makes an activist out of bench warmers. You did it in the Bible. Real faith makes activists out of pew sitters, because you really believe. and you say, ooh, I got to act on this. I want to, not just I have to, I want to do this because this is from God and I see my future. My faith is growing because I'm acting on it. God will help us do that. Father, we are grateful today for all you're teaching us. We are grateful today that you're reminding us that faith is powerful. It is one of the most, if not the most powerful thing we can do as disciples, is to have that mountain-moving faith. And Father, you've told us about that faith, and we ask you to help us today that as we operate in that faith, that you will bless us. And as you bless us, Father, as a church, and as you bless us as individuals, that you'll give us the grace to do what you've called us to do, that we will be active, and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Take your songbook, if you will, and stand with us and sing this. Bubba's going to lead this for us. And if you have any special needs, then you come and let me know that. Let's stand together.